Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live from Battle Scene America. Battlescene.net presents Battle Scene Rap Radio. Starring your hosts, Oplex and Tech Master Stro. The pen has always been mightier than the sword. The heart of battle rap is now here.
Is good. What is good? We are back in the building. Another exciting episode of the Battle Scene AHAP Wrap Up. I'm your host, Oplex, of course, alongside of me, I keep the battle rap expert, right to the right-hand side, Tech Master Stro. Stro, kind of a slow week in the culture. We did get a chance to see this Rum Nitty versus Fiends battle. We were talking about that last week. That will be the major talking point this week. Stro, what's good?
Yeah, I'm excited about that battle. I mean, if I can get one battle like that a week, I'd be happy because it has been a little bit of a long. But these past 2 weeks have been pretty good.
That's what's up, man. We got AC Salty Dog in the building.
Yo.
Salty Dog, ATN in the building representing that spit that he coming off a nice battle against Cash. What's good, man?
Man, you know nothing. I'm in a store right now trying to get this SD card for this camera.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Let's let the fans know. Luckily, you know, we didn't advertise it this week. We were supposed to have Sniper on the show. I want to go easy on Sniper. I would like to not have any shots fired. But let me just talk to Sniper, and we'll definitely upload this to YouTube. All right. The thing is, we don't care that you're on Angry Fan Radio, like, right now. Like, who gives a rat's arse about that? The thing is, he committed to the Battle Scene AHAT wrap-up. No communication whatsoever to let us know that he wasn't going to do the show. And so it leaves us feeling a certain kind of way about it. Technological stroke. Diving back into battle rap, let's go there. Like I told you, this is it. If battle rappers don't treat the sport like a business, that's got to play a role. It's got to kind of limit how quickly battle rap could grow. You know, everyone wants to complain, Stro, that no one can do battle rap full-time because it's just not enough money unless you're in that 5%. You know, of the URL guys that are getting that kind of money. But so we've seen it time and time before where some of these guys' characters are so fickle, they're not moving like business, man. And when you're out there performing, that's what you are. You are conducting business. Stro, your thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, people make the best business decisions for themselves that they can make, you know. So I understand that. But, yeah, I agree with you completely. But, I mean, there's more to what's going on today than the actual interview. It's, you know, I think we're all kind of looking at the ghostwriter accusations and trying to figure out what's really going on there.
Right, okay. And so, ATN, I mean, you're probably stepping on, you know, murky waters here. But we are hearing this on social media that Sniper has a ghostwriter. I mean, you know, first off, that battle against A-Jab is in the epic category. And, I mean, Sniper,
right,
just had superior penmanship to me all three rounds, it does kind of throw a thought that the possibility of him having a ghostwriter is out there now. What have you been hearing? I don't want to do a lot of hearsay stuff, but what's out there on social media about this accusation?
Man, it's so much. Jazz kind of got on the league. Jazz the rapper got on the league itself about, you know, how they so quick to expose somebody else for having a ghostwriter, but y'all keep it quiet in your own league. That's just one thing that was said. Another thing that was said was,
oh, wow.
Like, everybody knew about it and nobody said nothing, but now that it's coming out, everybody wants to come forward talking about I already knew. Like, no, like, you don't keep things hush-hush, you know? If it's something that is not good for the league, why would you keep that hush-hush? You know, it's a lot going on. I mean, it's just a crazy day in general. Like, people are saying if you see my battles taken down, don't be surprised. So it's just a lot going on everywhere. I mean, just last night, people were making confessions and stuff. They didn't call them confessions because they said it was stuff they never really hid. But it's like to the person who's never seen it, and they find out that this is the truth, and then they say, oh, wow, like, really? And you don't hide that. Like, okay, but you're just saying you just want to be known for a rapper, then, yeah, that's a confession. So it's a lot. I'm not really trying to go into detail about anything, but it's a lot going on in battle rap just in general.
What is the inside scoop on why Milltown Blow will quickly take your battle down? I mean, I don't know if that's good practice or not. I mean, you know, Smack
is
hearing about somebody ghostwriting. He's not going to take the battle down.
No. That's not the reason of the battles being removed.
Okay, let's talk.
You know, I'm not going to speak too much on it because I really don't know. But you know, just from the hearsay that is said, you know, you have that falling out with Blow. You know, but I'm just going to say, if we can, let's step away from that because I don't want to do or say anything that he might feel tarnishes his brand that he's worked to build.
Absolutely. And, I mean, this is journalism we're dealing with. I mean, you know, just drama. That's what's going on. And drama is good. The drama is good for battle rap because I think it provides a level of entertainment. You know, I mean, as much as me and Stro, you know, the way we conduct BattleScene.net, we're like the sticklers. We don't really care about the drama, but it is entertaining. But I think, you know, at Stro, what point does the drama spill over to where it does kind of hurt the culture? Because let's face it, if you're taking battles down, it's kind of like, that doesn't do anybody any good. Let's face it. I mean, it does, especially if you got a good battle. And you start pulling battles down, who does it benefit? Definitely doesn't benefit the fan. And I don't see how that would benefit any league owner or any league. You know, if you got a good battle and then something happens and then you're like, okay, I'm taking the battle down. So, you know, you go all the way back old school with this battle rap thing. Talk to me about just where the drama kind of spills over. And then all of a sudden, it leaves kind of a bitter taste in the fans' mouth.
Well, I mean, the drama had spilled over on multiple occasions prior to any of this, you know, really happening. But I see what you mean as far as inside or behind the scenes. I think what's really unfortunate is that what's happening behind the scenes is spilling over, you know, onto the
inside. Yeah.
And so I feel like most of the root of the problem really is people not being able to, you know, keep things in their appropriate place, you know. So there's a time and a place for everything. So it's evident that, you know, something happened out of place. You feel me? So that disrupts things. You know, and now it's being talked about, rumors are spreading, you know, and this is probably from one incident of one person, you know, doing or saying something in the wrong place or at the wrong time.
Gotcha. Points well taken, ATN. Respect, man. I know that's, you know, like I said, muggy territory to step on. So appreciate you giving us some feedback. ATN, Salty Hawk, let's talk about this Steam Slim Nitty battle. You were somewhat of a prophet last week. You talked about Danny, and, you know, we love Danny to death, but you did kind of say, you know, Danny is kind of like that live-in-the-moment guy, and, you know, like you said, live, that was the best battle he's ever seen. In the end, I've already confirmed the stroke is not going to make our epic category. Have you had a chance to look at that battle?
No, I have not. Again, been a busy week. It's been a busy week as far as, like, other things going on. You know, you get inside these groups and, like, you start meeting people and, you know, friending them on Facebook, and they just – I'm telling you, man, if only I was one of those people. If I was being extra salty tonight, like, fuck it, I'm quitting battle rap today, and this is all the secrets. Boy, I tell you. I tell you, just from this week alone, we would have to have the show today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Not bar.
Wow.
That's fine.
Right.
What was that?
It's man, you know, it's
a fire.
Right. Right. All right, so let's break this battle down. You know, you got fans everywhere, and this is a very indecisive battle. I think when you scan social media and you're seeing who people are saying who won, I've seen a little bit of everything. I've seen Rum taking the first round, and then the other two being debatable. I've seen, you know, the outrageous 3-0 either way. I've seen those too. But it's a split. It's definitely a split decision with the fans. Techmaster Stone, you're in the hot seat. Who took that battle? And why?
Oh, man, it's a tough one to call because, I mean, I'm on a technical level, I think Rum Nitty has to take that technically.
Mm.
But
okay.
But there were some things, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but there was just a way that Steams dropped his bars, even if he kind of was stumbling like people are talking about. He has such an MC way about him that it doesn't really come off as a choke, so it's okay.
Okay.
But I think Nitty had the more technically sound bars, but, you know, that can have a negative effect. It can come off sounding robotic. You know, Steams to me feels more natural. He sounds like he's alive. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
It's a tough. I don't see a 3-0. I don't see stuff like that. I mean, I'm really having a hard time. I think Steams had some. He had some bars too, man. I don't know, man. It's a debatable battle, dude. I'm gonna go with debatable.
Okay, there it is.
Either way.
As we know, right. And that's, you know, so, you know, round of applause, Rum Nitty, Steam, it's a classic. We'll write it up.
Absolutely.
Stroll, let's talk about the sportsmanship. You know, kind of gave you that old school Danny Myers feel. You know, the ability to be able to pound up your opponent. You know, we, in the same sense, let's talk about that. I think it's very interesting because, in the same sense, when Danny was doing it a lot early in his rising to the top, I, you know, as you know, so I told Danny Myers, you might not want to do that. We know that you're like, you love battle rap. And I mean, let's speak about that, the Danny Myers versus
Well, you know
Rundini
what?
Battle,
it happened. And this one, it played off a little bit different. I mean, it wasn't as friendly. It was more of a, I respect you, I respect that bar vibe. Not like, oh, that was dope kind of vibe. You know what I'm saying? So they were able to make it come off in a more professional and acceptable manner.
Did they still have that look on their face, like, I still kill you, though? Did they have that look on their face while they did it?
Yeah, pretty. I mean, not every time, because I mean it was literally bar for bar, dude. It was there was nothing, you know, that went to waste in this battle. I'm telling you, and the more I think about it, man, I'm telling you, Steams was literally punching every bar, like.
So you think? Okay, so when you say technically, you kind of feel like Rum Nitty with Edge, but then if you're saying Steams is punching bar for bar, it sounds like maybe on the scorecard, Steams would take it, which to me is kind of technical if you were just to go ahead and break the pen out and count each bar. So when you say Nitty took it technically, what do you mean?
It's a tricky battle, man. You know, when I say technically, I'm talking about delivery, performance, and delivery includes, you know, not stumbling over your verse, being able to spit it backwards and forwards. So Nitty has none of that. So he's going to score higher in that area. His bars were dope, too. I mean, he was really going off. But I just feel like Steams delivers in a way that makes his bars a little bit more memorable. That's why I mentioned the coming off like a robot. Like, you can't really remember that. It feels like it's being recited to you, you know?
Right. I got a question. So could it be a preference thing?
Hmm.
Now, I'm asking that because you did say that Nitty came off sounding like more so he was, you know, straightforward, the punches that people want to hear, you know, those simple, not too difficult, not too simple, straightforward bars, where Steams, where he's like, was he scheming this battle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's a schemer. So I it sounded like it's a preference battle. And, you know, everybody's nowadays is leaning more towards let me hear the straight-up punch versus take me through these schemes.
You know, I think you're right. And I think it almost all kind of depends on what you focus on. That's why I keep going back
right,
and forth.
Okay.
So, you know, I start focusing on, like, one aspect of Steams, and then it's like, oh, man, maybe he took it. I can focus on another aspect of Nitty and start thinking he took it. That's why I'm going back and forth. So I definitely think a little bit of preference involved, because if you're leaning heavily toward any one, you know, thing, then if the person's doing that thing more than the other one, they're going to win all the time.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's what we're talking about, preference. Now, I mean, because it's like if you take someone like Steams, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think Steams has one of the best pens in the game, hands down. But at times, I can truly say that I would rather listen to it be Magic. This is someone that's just going to give you, again, I haven't seen this battle, so you're saying he's going bar for bar, but I know with those schemes, he can really blow those schemes out the box, and sometimes he loses me, but his performance typically saves him. But a preference battle, what do you like? Because Rum Nitty is more straightforward, and he's just, you know, it's not that he can't scheme, but Rum Nitty is more a slugger in that ring.
But I'm going to tell you, just like Danny said, like, it's Steams at his best, it's Nitty at his best. This is like, so you've seen Steams. He has one of the best pins in the game. So you got to imagine him, you know, going 100% all three rounds. Like, I'm telling you, dude, it's a whole different, like, Steams. Like, if he was like that every battle,
right,
it'd be ridiculous. I'm telling you, dude. That's going to be one of his strongest performances ever. It's going to be hard to match that one.
Wow. So you would you say that this Rum Nitty here's a money ball question. What battle did Nitty perform better in? Was it the Steams battle or was it the Danny Myers battle?
The Danny Myers battle.
There we go. Okay. There it is. That's awesome. It definitely speaks a lot. Once again, if you're just tuning in, I'm seeing AI wrap up. We got Tech Master Stro, Salty Dog on the line. Hopefully, I'm in the building.
We got
going over this. You got Reese on deck?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and get Reese, fellow Southern battle
rapper.
Oh,
no. He can definitely give you a lot more. He actually listened to the show, so he has a little bit more insight on that sniper situation.
All right, well, let's get Reese on. And, you know, we got Sniper probably on Angry Fan right now, supposed to be on our show, and it's all good. Let's get Reese on. Round of applause for Reese. Represents, you know, Spit That Heat, Southern Battle Rap in the building. Reese, what's good, man? It's been a minute.
Is he on? Nah.
We get him?
Yeah, he's on, I think.
Okay. Reese, we got you on, so if you can hear us, we can't hear you. Hopefully, we'll get you in. Technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the ghostwriting thing has been no stranger to battle scene. And just as it happens in with studio MCs, your favorite rapper that you turn the radio on to listen to, some of these guys have ghostwriters too. Why does that happen? Let me propose a theory. It's kind of like Danny Myers said last week, where he said, well, guess what? Me and Chilla, we have writer's block right now. So what do you do? And I've been, you know, as a producer, as a songwriter, you know, one of the worst things that you can do is force that pen, and you know you're in that zone where you can't come up with what you know is your best material. If you continue to write those bars, they're gonna be lukewarm, and it's not gonna be typically what your audience is used to. So what do you do?
Yeah, but you gotta write through that. You have to write through it. I feel like the less you write, the longer chance you stand of staying in that writer's block. Like, you know, sometimes you gotta write through it.
I agree, but it's kind of different story with battle rap because, I mean, if Drake has writer's block, you know, we may or may not even notice, depending on the beat, you know, depending on his angle to the song. But in battle rap, it is going to be evident. You're going to see, for instance, a lukewarm B-Magic, or we've seen like a lukewarm Conceited, where it's just like, you know, your bars are okay. I agree. I want to talk to ATN about this because, you know, you're in that mosh pit. You get in that ring. But how does that work? You got a battle coming up. Have you been in this kind of situation the past off? You know,
I mean,
every battle,
let's just be truthful. I mean, if a battle rapper is telling you they write the greatest stuff all the time, they lying to you. They lying. The reason for that is because every time you step up to battle, you want to say your greatest shit. You want to top the performance you put on last time. So you're always constantly in search of seeing something new, something different, you know, having the weirdest angle that nobody would have thought about, but everybody thought about it and was like, dang, why didn't I say that? So when it comes to writer's block, like, Stroh is telling the truth, it's best to write through it. But, like, in most cases, people have to take that break, put that pen down, and step back. And they got to, like, clear their head and start thinking, like, what's something I didn't say yet? Or what's something that hasn't been said to this person yet? And I think that's where the media comes. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, you can hear me? All right. So I think that's where the media comes into play, though, because, you know, the social media connects all of us, so we don't really have much on these people other than what we see of them. So when they start getting on there talking trash, or they make a post and somebody tags you in it, and you like, what are they talking about? And then your mind starts clicking because it's like, oh, I could take this and I could flip that, I could break this apart. So it's like that social media kind of like amps you back up and gets your mind going again when you get that writer's block, when you think you said everything that you could say. But, like, it's best to, like, try to write through it, but I don't know. In my opinion, I just put the pen down. Put the pen down and back up.
Yeah, I mean, okay, wow. And so you know, adverse thoughts here. Stroh's saying, and let's face it, if you guys don't know, Techmaster Stroh has rocked the mic before, has been on stage. He's got bars. Stroh, you're saying the only way to get out of that hole is to continue to write and kind of wait for the pen to heat back up. But you gotta keep writing to get out of that slump.
It's not the only way. I'm just saying, even when you step back, sometimes you still write something. Like even if a person might say, "Okay, I'm stepping back. I'm not writing." Writing to me does not involve a pen and a paper all the time. So if you were walking down the street daydreaming at your job and thinking of a set of bars, you were writing. You know what I'm saying? Just because you didn't write it down don't mean you weren't writing. So I don't think you can just let go of it completely because you're not doing anything to heal whatever's going on with yourself as far as the writer's block is concerned, because it's most likely something else besides your inability to write, you know, and you not being able to write, which is most likely your outlet, is just only going to kind of keep a vicious grip without, so without
see,
writing,
I was just thinking
it,
that, Stro.
You get stuck.
You heard me, Stro? I was just thinking that. When you said that, you know, you got to, like, you said even though it's not the pen and the pad, if that's the case, then Stroh is right, and I think he should change it, and that is the only way to keep writing, because even though you're not writing it down, you're always thinking, well, dang, what can I say? What can I say? All right, I'm going to think about it later. But you got to step back and let life happen to you, man. That's when some of your best bars come to you, when you just sit back and let life happen. Like, for real.
Great point. ATN, you know, you're coming off, let's switch gears here. You're coming off of a very solid showing against Cash. And, you know, let's talk about this whole politics. So now that you're heating up, you know, the progression is there. In this culture, views, this is where the views do come into play. The views have to be the ante to be able to create more opportunities to get in other leagues. But talk to me about the frustrating part of this whole promotion and marketing side of battle rap, having to kind of turn away from being the MC and figure out how can I take this good showing here and get the views, you know, get it in front of the people so they can see what you bring to the table with the hopes that that will create more opportunities for you.
Man, you said a mouthful right there, because when it really comes down to it, you like, okay, Facebook got all these groups, but when you look in those groups, you got like 20, and within a 20-minute span, you got about 50 dudes sharing their battle, saying, peep this battle, peep this dope battle. And, you know, not everybody feels like certain battles are dope, so you might get some people who they feel is dope. You know, because everybody believes in themselves, and they feel it's dope, and they share it, and, like, somebody managed to click on that battle, and they was like, this is an ass battle. So now they looking at every battle separately. They like, do I know this nigga? I don't know him. I ain't never heard of him. Nah, I ain't doing it. Nope, not clicking on it. Not clicking play, you know. So it really, it's harder to share your battle now, like, especially if you got some good quality bars in it. If they don't know who you are, they're not clicking. It's like you need that cosign. You need those people to say, yeah, man, y'all need to rock with this battle and whatnot. But on the upside, I don't really, like, say this is a way you should promote, but it's funny, it seems like anytime somebody is promoting themselves, they take the angle of, I'll kill anybody, all y'all niggas ass. And then, you know, people, they see it, somebody's going to respond and go, oh, say what? You could kill who? Nigga, please. And then they be like, post some footage. And then they watch your battle. So it's like, maybe a nigga just need to be on some salty dog shit all the time. Like, fuck all y'all, I'm not impressed. Y'all some bitches. y'all get up there and y'all just move your hands a lot and y'all ain't really saying nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, no lie. I heard the ass. I heard the name before. Wait, hold on. I heard the name and Astro. I heard the name before, but I never really seen none of his battles. Dub the Phenom. And so I was in We Go Hard, I believe it was, and I posted my battle, and something came up. Somebody that I'm friends with from WBL is one of my friends. They made a post of the event they got coming up, and somehow we got to talking and whatnot, and I was like, Dub the Phenom, that nigga's not God. And he came on the post saying, like, I don't got to be God for you to see the light or something like that. And I'm like, I ain't never heard a nigga post a link. And I'm just talking shit. And they was like, oh, we got a list of killers. Do I need to name more? And I was like, it don't even matter, your list. I'll kill any of them. So I was like, right. Oh, my gosh. They threw Dub at me like, oh, you a killer? Well, how about this? Battle this nigga. And I'm like, this name sounds familiar. And I go around and I'm asking everybody. And they like, yo, he nice. And I'm like, well, I watched one battle. You didn't seem that dope to me. But the response is going, he's nice. And then, you know, it goes further. He's got this deep catalog. And then I'm like, you know what? Somebody, I made a post tagging, like, Mulatto Black and somebody else from up north. And I was like, yo, is Dub nice? And they came back saying he was, but, like, some other people I wasn't even friends with saw the post, and they was like, yo, Dub is, he nice, he power circle, you know what I'm saying? And they, like, posted, like, I guess one of his newest battles, him versus July Streets off of We Go Hard, and I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, well, I mean, he nice. I mean, if I write my bars right, I could fuck him up, you know, make it debatable. Right. But I'm like, he's got more of a name, so he's going to win off that alone. So I'm like, I'll still fuck him up, though. Fuck it. Let's go. I'll still fuck him up. At the end of the day, you know, niggas like I think I like it better being the underdog. Fuck that. Don't have faith in me. So when I prove your ass wrong, you'll be damn.
Started from the bottom. Now we hear kind of mentality there. You know, speaking of We Go Hard, I think that's a talking point. You know, Take Master Stroh. You talked about a year ago, you were talking about how we should see more cross-league events, i.e. We Go Hard versus Spit That Heat right up your alley, Stroh. And I've been playing around with that idea. And Stroh, I don't know the matches. Has the card been set? Let me ask you that, Stroh. Hey, OD Tom.
I think it has. I'm not. I don't have the. I don't know. It may not have. I'm not sure on that.
They made a date. Last I checked, they put a date out, and I forgot what the date was. Cause I'm like, I don't want to hear nothing until the card is out and they saying this. This is what it is. But I do know who certain people want to battle. I do know that. So I know like AR wants Steams. But it seems like everybody wants Steams. Like, he's the only one they talk about. Like, him, they're like, We Go Hard only has, like, three niggas. And they name them. They're like, Steams, Chess, and somebody else. And then they're like, Brooklyn Carter.
Brooklyn Carter?
I want to say it's Brooklyn Carter, but they be dissing that nigga so bad. It's, like, ridiculous.
Hey, Brooklyn Carter's nice. I don't know why. He's pretty good.
They said, like, y'all top two niggas is, like, Chess and Steams. And after that, everybody else is ass.
Nah. See, this what a game
changer.
Hey, I'm just giving you the statements that have been said. Brooklyn Carter is a non-factor. He's a non-factor. He's not even playing in the game. Like, he's on the bench.
My thing is, I think he might have a new battle out. But that last battle that he came out with was a classic, Stroh. I forget the name of who he was battling. But that was about 3-4 months ago. He made the site. We wrote that up. It was a classic black and white battle. And he threw down. And Brooklyn Carter won that battle. To me it was clear. But after that showing, I think that was about the second or third time that I watched him, I'm impressed. So your take on the kind of caliber MC that Brooklyn Carter is from what you see?
I mean, he definitely is a dope MC, but sometimes he can be hit or miss. What with ATN saying he's completely off the radar, that's setting whoever is going to battle him, if someone does, up for failure, because dude is definitely, like, not to be slept on. You can't sit there and decide, I don't really need to, you know, pay attention to my pen. I don't need to focus, because you might get by.
Naughty.
I mean, because he has a very strong performance. They're going up there. They're not going to be doing it in ATL, from what I know. And that's going to be a very, very...
That's hostile territory. If they're going up north, that's hostile territory, man. I mean, that crowd... I mean, it's Stroh has mentioned.
Wait. But it's We Go Hard, though. Let's keep it 100. It's We Go Hard. Like, even though it's Spit That Heat versus We Go Hard, I do expect one thing, for them to cheer at dope bars. They're going to gas everything We Go Hard does, but they're going to cheer.
We Go Hard is one of the rowdiest groups. And
that's it. That's what I'm saying.
But We Go Hard. And that's the bottom line. Like,
it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, let's talk about AR1 and Sting's. I mean, I think whoever gets Sting's coming out of Spit That Heat probably should be the best, because, I mean, Sting's is the best when We Go Hard, so I feel like that's pretty much AR kind of stepping out indirectly and saying, I am the most at least consistent MC in Spit That Heat. Stroh, interesting. It might be right. We talked about it. It might be right. I mean, you know, Trez is new to the game. I mean, he still hasn't built. I mean, AR has a legacy in battle rap where you can put in automatic range.
Straight up.
You're going to get tons of battles.
Straight up, everybody wants to see Trez versus Chess.
That would be cool. I have no idea. I like that.
I guess it's because they're both young niggas, but everybody wants to see Trez versus Chess.
I think that would be a dope battle. Just off performance alone, and I mean, they're going to come with bars, but just on a performance level, sure, that would be an exciting battle. Both of them got super addicts.
Yeah, I don't know who I see taking that. I think Chess has such a very strong performance. Trez can definitely perform, but it's not up to the caliber of Chess. So I think he stands a chance of running into some issues if Chess has, you know, equal or better bars along with better performance. That's pretty much going to equal a victory. I'm telling you. And Chess's last battle, oh my gosh.
That Billy Barr battle,
Billy
wasn't
Barr.
It?
Yeah, Chess versus Billy Barr.
That wasn't even a battle. That was a soul
body. Like,
where's the sound by that? Why you make him jump in the casket? Like,
hey, I'm telling you, man. And Billy Barr's is supposed to be like this, like, you know. He's supposed to have more street cred and be more, you know, aggressive than Chess. And I'm telling you, it didn't work. It did not work. Chess went first. It was a one-off, and he took care of him first, top of the first. It was done. Done completely.
That sounds like the first four bars. First four, maybe first eight.
So I'm telling you. You get a top-notch Chess with a performance, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Chess is, and I can tell you, I mean, we saw Chess, Stroh saw Chess. I think he was out, looked like he was outside at a playground battle in about 2 years ago. And Stroh, it talks to me about it because you pretty much called it like, this young dude right here is going to end up blowing up. And you strove, well, what did you see in him? And now, you know, he's going to be probably one of the youngest battle rappers out there. But, I mean, he's doing amazing things now. What did you see when you saw him in that battle when he first made Battle Scene down there?
Yeah, he had he didn't have the strongest bars at that time, but he had a presence. It's not really something you can point out or define. You kind of just got to feel it. So it was more of his presence at that time. The one thing that stuck out to me was his alphabet. I guess it was a group of alphabet bars. And I thought it was interesting that he was doing something, you know, within the verse that actually took some. Those kind of bars take forethought. You have to really think them out for them to come out, you know, in line and in sync and actually have meaning relevant to the, you know, the last phrase that was said. So that was pretty much his penmanship and his presence.
There it is. There it is. And once again, I mean, this is why, you know, we call him the battle rap expert. He's been watching battle rappers for so long. Stro can see the diamond in the rough. Once again, if you're just tuning in, it's the Battle Scene A-Hat Rap. So if you go, check out the show. And Oakley, just throwing some things around. Here's a matchup. I kind of like to do this every show. We talk about some of these ideal matchups. I saw Danny Myers on Facebook saying that Loaded Lux versus Daylight has to happen. He's like, that is going to be like, you know, just on the names alone, that's probably going to be an epic battle. But I'm curious to see Stro's thoughts on who he would think would edge that battle. They both have cryptic styles, if you will. You definitely have to listen to these guys, because of their penmanship is so intricate. Stro, if Loaded Lux and Daylight were to face off, who you got? Who you put your money on?
I got Lux, clearly. I really think he's a much better writer than Daylight. That's just the truth. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, I know you say Daylight's cryptic and things. To me, that's just, you know, that kind of gets in the way of translating your bars. You know, people got to watch it three times to really get what you were saying sometimes. So that does not play well live, and it certainly doesn't even play well for the first watch of the battle, like the person's first initial, you know, take on the battle is always going to leave you in a hole. So I think with the, you know, pretty much exquisite penmanship of Lux, I mean, regardless of how he lost the move, it was still a dope round. Like, if you sat down and just listened to the bars, you'd be like, oh, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think he'd take that clearly. I really do. I give it
Wow. I mean, I don't know, man, because, you know, obviously we're talking about, like, the no antics straight up and down Daylight. Like, that just comes in bar heavy, cryptic style. And, you know, Daylight has, if you catch Daylight in the right element, you know, he has, beyond trying to poop on stage, he does have this very conscious social awareness kind of vibe to him. I could almost see him spitting the same kind of bars that Lux did to Calico, if you will. Ironically, if you really research Daylight out, he is about that life. You know, he's also about, you know, like I said, pooping on stage. But if we see that kind of Daylight, I don't even know. So I don't think it would be clear. Salty Dog, your take on this?
I'm sorry, I side with Stro on this one. Yeah,
okay.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Here's the reason why. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how Daylight would choose to come, because at the end of the day, you have to remember, it's not you really that the person is battling. It's your legacy that they're battling in a situation like Daylight and Lux. So Daylight is going to get sunned, like, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, Lux is going to come up there, and he's going to talk to him worse than he spoke to Calico in that third round. Like, he's going to get that three rounds because those antics he decided to pull and how he hurt the culture and stuff like that. Whether people felt it helped the culture or not, Lux is going to take that and draw the negative out to make a positive. So, like, Daylight is getting sunned. Whether it's one round or three, he's getting sunned. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, it'll be a dope battle. Don't get me wrong. And you're going to have the Daylight fans out there that go, no, Daylight won, you know. And it's going to make for a classic. But at the end of the day, you really sit down and you watch those bars and how everything is going to move. And Lux has a lot more to work with. A lot more to work with.
Well, I think clearly people don't – I think Lux has to be careful. I mean, if this battle was to go down, I think fans don't really want to see that Lux anymore, that whole Big Sunny thing. But I think with Daylight putting himself in a position with all these different antics, you know that Lux would probably go back to that, okay, I'm going to just give you three rounds of preaching. The problem with that is, you know, I think Daylight would expect that. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? So Daylight, it almost gets him in the van. It's like, okay, I know. And Daylight's been up against that before. Like, okay, guys are going to sit there and talk about all of my antics. Like, what else is new? So, you know, on the chessboard, I think it would be a very, very interesting battle. Because in the same breath, I feel like a lot of people, like, you know, Lonely Lux goes too deep. You know, he want to sit there and talk to you all three rounds, but I think it would be appropriate versus Daylight. So, round of applause for Danny Myers kind of throwing that out there. It probably is a battle that we do need to see, just to see how that would
look. I want to throw a thought out there, though. Like, what if Lux decides to sun him, but instead of sunning him like I'm a preacher, he suns him like, we niggas from the streets, like, I'm going to talk to you like that hood nigga and, like, let you know. Like, that would be, because that's doable, too. Just because Lux decides to say in the first round, I'm going to talk to you like a preacher, doesn't mean he can't turn around and say, I used to be about that life, and start sunning him that way, too.
Oh,
there's a
wow.
lot of different ways he could sun him. I'm just saying.
Wow, great point. Stroh, what's your take on that, man? So let's take it back to the street. He's definitely capable of it because he's such a good writer.
And I think really it boils down to the fact that there's just too many angles. That you can utilize against Daylight. And if you are a really good writer, I mean, it's easy to grab the crowd. I mean, you really just start talking about some stuff that they really agree with, that they really think was dumb or something like that, and, you know, they start basically vibing with you. Everything you say is then amplified, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? you just made the environment for everything you say to be dope, you know.
Yeah. Daylight, to me, it'll be interesting to see what Daylight does with his career, period. I think, and as Techmaster Stroh has said, all of these antics have kind of, especially now that you're seeing URL kind of expanding and they're bringing out their younger MCs, there's bigger fish in the sea almost. And then you look at Daylight, who is, you know, legendary, has a legacy in the culture. But Stroh, you kind of feel like now what you've been saying is finally coming to fruition where it's like people are kind of tired, you know, of all the antics, and it's kind of lowered his stock, if you will.
Well, I mean, the good thing that he has going for him is the fact that he did have bars. So
yes, he does.
If he's still clever and able to write dope bars, he'll be just fine. Fall back on his bars. But
I refuse to watch the Pat Stay battle, you know, with the whole I'm going to dress up as a slave. I haven't seen that battle. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, you know, some of the stuff is ridiculous. That's one of the ethics. I mean, so he's done the KKK. He stepped in the ring. He's a Ku Klux Klan member. Then he went all the way to the other side, and now he's a slave. And then you try to poop on stage. I mean, I'm definitely, you know, I have a few rounds of applause for me not watching Daylight dressed up as a slave. I don't know why.
He said round of applause for me not watching it.
Goodness,
I don't know.
Gracious.
I think you just topped all of the saltiness that I could have ever given on any show. You just topped it right there at that moment. Just round of applause for me not watching that nigga.
Hey, Stroh, did you get a chance to see that? Well, we talk about that. This is the older battle about what, maybe 68? No. But what did you see that battle, sir?
Which one, where he was dressed up? Like a, I guess a
yeah,
slave?
Yeah, with Pat Day. Yeah, he dressed up as a slave.
Yeah, I saw it, but unfortunately, that's all I can remember from it.
Wow.
But see, here's my thing. This is the funny thing. You know, this is a good talking point for the fans. It's like, typically, Daylight is going to do those antics when he doesn't take his opponent seriously. Like, Pat Stay, that's a brand name in the culture. I don't know how Daylight cannot take Pat Stay seriously. And so he's so difficult to figure out. But, you know, in the same sense, that's his brand, and that's what keeps him relevant, you know. If the only thing you can remember from you know, Daylight's performance was that he was dressed as a slave, then I mean, clearly we're not in the 1800s, so it's just not a good thing, man. Probably not for the culture, period. You know, I mean,
I think
like,
he was trying to make a statement, though, because there have been a lot of rumors and accusations that Pat Stay is a bona fide racist.
Okay.
So I think that was definitely part of making a statement, too.
I'm sorry. I heard that the point of him dressing up as a slave was to come to Canada, you know, because that's where a lot of slaves escape to come to Canada dressed as a slave to where he can be free. Like, I don't, it was something to do like that, but it's just like, did you really have to dress up like a slave in chains?
I mean,
a slave in chains, though? I mean, I could have just seen a slave.
Yeah,
just like,
with
he's,
the chains on, man.
Like,
he went too
okay.
far.
I don't know.
Okay, so, well, that's an interesting point. So he's dressing up as a slave. Let me wrap my mind around this. Because the slaves used to go across the border. I mean, you know, I'm in Detroit. And, you know, you cross the water, you go to Canada, and you're free. Well, if that was his methodology, then did he take the chains off, Stroh? Did he get free in the battle?
You know, I think that was for added, you know, put a little icing on the cake because you're already dressed up as a slave. So, I mean, anything you add on to that really doesn't amplify any more than that.
Oh, my gosh, man. Well,
that's horrible.
Could have came with a back full of red stripes, a bloody back. Think about
he
that,
did have stripes on his back, didn't he? Like somebody
that,
had beat him.
That would have been shocking.
Yeah. Well, I guess
yeah,
his makeup
I mean,
budget.
I don't even want to laugh about it. I mean, he would have needed the makeup
budget.
Artist some glory to do that, or just would have looked horrible.
Yeah. Really?
I mean,
but then again, you know, hey, we don't know
back.
If his tattoo is even real anymore. So, who's to say that his tattoo, I mean, his makeup
oh,
skills
real.
Ain't that real? Hey, I seen him in person and said, damn, that tattoo is real. But then the next day, it's a picture of him on Facebook, you know, with no tattoos.
Yeah.
A blog.
Yeah, but he
did a blog with no tattoos.
You can see that it's makeup. If you look hard enough, you can see he's clearly got makeup on.
I'll say this much. He clearly's got a lot of free time. You know, I thought it was gonna stop at butt naked with a shotgun. You know, then he was twerking with a AK and
with a pink one piece skirt on. Like, what was that about?
He's definitely wild. He's definitely, I mean, he's a brand to be reckoned with as far as just like entertainment is concerned, because that's what the internet is based off of. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how many times I go down my news feed and I'll see something. It's either a fight or it's something like somebody making fun of somebody for a misfortune they had and they didn't realize they had it. You know, the one dude, he likes to go on Twitter and find a whole bunch of Twitter posts where people are spelling words wrong. And he's just, like, playing on their education. Like, you're a grown person and you're spelling this word like this? Like, really? Like, yeah,
right,
you need to be stabbed
right,
in
right.
the head with a pencil, a number two pencil.
That's what's up. One thing, I mean, I think Bobby Lee Swagger made a great point, though, kind of closing off this whole Daylight Talk, was that he used trolling as his way. I mean, from the battle ring, from in the ring to outside the ring, Daylight literally got his brand, elevated because of trolling. We've seen it to where it'll hurt you. You know, and we've seen it to where it can help you. I mean, Billy Boondocks, it's hard not to talk about this guy. He drops a video whining and complaining about Lush doesn't want to put him in a battle, West Coast not supporting him. And, like, we've already talked, Strong's already talked to Billy about that. We've already talked to him about that. It's like, dude, get back to the bar. Stop all the trolling and get to the bar. And now look at it, Stro. Now he can't even get a battle.
Yeah, man. I told you, man, that ether was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah,
it was
absolutely.
The nail in the coffin. I mean, especially looking back, like even at the time he was able to make a good play on it. I mean, we called it as soon as it happened. But he, now looking back, it's just like, yeah, dude. That was the nail in the coffin for you.
Yeah.
It was the worst performance of your life on the biggest stage you have been on.
Of your life, yeah.
He said
wow.
He can't get a battle, though?
He's saying he can't get a battle now.
That's
you
what
know,
he said.
I'll battle him. I'll battle him for 200.
Wow.
I'm going to need 200.
All right. Well,
I'm doing him the favor.
Wait, no.
Tell him to talk to my manager. Stro, tell him he needs to talk to you. I don't want to talk to him. I'll battle him as a favor, but I need 200.
Wow.
Sound like a
favor
to me.
I mean, now, you know, I can't take your position. You know, there's only one salty dog. But what I'm saying is, I think he might have more views than you, though.
I don't care about his views. I can get battles. I'm still getting booked. Plus, my manager, he needs to talk to him. Stro, please recite to Oplex what I just said, because he's not listening to me. I need for him to talk to you.
I can get. Well, the main gist behind it is he can get booked. So.
And I feel that. So there's more bad, and that speaks volumes. You're right. It's not even about views at that point. It's like, who's the more valuable MC? Well, like you said, great point. You got me 1-0 there, Ethan. Like, well, I'm still getting booked. This dude can't get booked. Well, he should pay me. Great point. Hey, let's go.
Damn, that's petty, though. That's petty.
Hey,
damn.
Crazy, but the MC that can get booked is clearly more valuable. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's the, you know,
it's all about your management. It's all about your management. He needs to get a tech master. That's what he needs to get. I got one. See how it's working for me.
That's what's up, man. Well, you know, once again, congrats to you. Hey, go check out the homie ATN versus Cash YouTube. That great battle. Salty Dog is in the building.
Trap House
NJ. The Trap House NJ and Salty Dog is progressing, ladies and gentlemen. That's, as you know, that's what BattleScene.net looks forward to. Hey, great show, chopping it up. Love the culture, love the fans. We appreciate everybody that's on deck listening. It's the BattleScene AAP wrap-up. Oplex, Techmaster Stroke, Salty Dog, and the homie ATN. We are out.